show, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. At a gathering of generals and admirals in Virginia today, President Trump shared his vision for using the military for domestic purposes. He said cities could be a training ground.
San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, they're very unsafe places, and we're going to straighten them out one by one. And this is going to be a major part for some of the people in this room. That's a war, too. It's a war from within.
The fact that the commanders were summoned from around the world, some from conflict zones, also raised questions about the purpose of the meeting. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Military generals and admirals don't tend to do a lot of cheering at these types of things. It would typically be considered unbecoming. Typically, they don't attend political speeches, but that's what they heard, not entirely from the president. But I would say out of the hour or so that he spent speaking, perhaps a third to a half was relevant to them.
They sat mostly stone-faced throughout his remarks. Susan Schnall, president of Veterans for Peace, was angered by the president's words.
It is another move towards total authoritarianism and a fascist dictatorship.
A government shutdown could be just hours away, and Erica Brown reports as little chance it will be averted.
Top Democrats and Republicans are placing blame on each other.
Democrats are on the side of the American people.
It's the Democrats who are driving America into a shutdown.
To avert a shutdown, the Senate could pass a Republican measure Tuesday that extends federal funding at its current level until mid-November. But Democrats are demanding the bill include an extension of Affordable Care Act benefits expiring this year and reverses cuts to Medicaid.
Hamas says it's studying President Trump's latest peace plan for Gaza. CBS's Deborah Pata is in Tel Aviv.
Sources close to the process have told CBS News that Hamas is leaning towards accepting the peace plan and will hand over their response to Egypt and Qatar tomorrow.
Stacey Lynn reports a federal judge has ruled the Trump administration's efforts to deport non-citizens for protesting the war in Gaza was unconstitutional.
The judge in Boston agreed with several university associations, which said the policy they described as ideological deportation violates the First Amendment. They testified that the Trump administration had launched a coordinated effort to target students and scholars who had criticized Israel or showed sympathy for Palestinians.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished higher, investors shaking off possibility of a government shutdown. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The Bucks are new and improved. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. That's the message Bucks GM John Horsehead telling reporters on how they've revamped the roster after releasing Damian Lillard.
We have even more shooting this year than we had last year. Obviously highlighted by the Miles Turner acquisition, which was huge for us. He really fits us as a person, as a player, age-wise on the timeline of the rest of our team. Doc said yesterday he's actually younger than Giannis, which is great.
NFL, the Packers' Micah Parsons says he wants to meet this week with defensive coordinator Jeff Hatfield after Green Bay allowed the Cowboys to score 40 points Sunday night.
We're just sitting down talking for 10, 15 minutes together post-game, and just like I said, bro, I want to meet with you one-on-one. That's the same thing I used to do with Zimmer, same thing I did with Dan Quinn, just about like what he sees, what I see. I'll take my personal time so that we can build that relationship together. But, you know, it's something that I do want to hope throughout this bye week that we come back and we start doing more things together.
That's the Packers' Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight, a low in the mid-50s. And mostly sunny and warm again for Wednesday, a high in the upper 70s. Heat continues to build through the rest of the week, highs in the 80s. Storm chances return Friday night through the weekend. Right now it's 73.
Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full.
at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm Chad Holmes, joining myself and former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we will review and preview the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. Each week, we will talk to an area head football coach about their team and also bring on a student athlete to talk about their athletics and off the field as well. The Big High School Sports Show, each and every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And don't forget, you can catch a podcast of every week's show at WXCO.fm, also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. You might just be here on the best day of the week. Tuesday has a feel. As far as I'm concerned, it's great to have you. I am Pete Schwabba, Conrad Krieger riding shotgun tonight here as we kick off Act Two on this beautiful night from gorgeous downtown Green Bay. And Chris Foran is here, formerly from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How long am I going to say formerly, Conrad? It's like saying Happy New Year 3 weeks into the new year. At some point, after tonight, I think we won't say that anymore. But we will be back to Chris in just a minute. I have Sean Hannish is coming up at 7:20. He's the director of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Sean is also behind another film that will be hitting Marcus Theaters in a couple weeks called No Packers, No Life. The director is Craig Benzine. Craig has been on the show a couple times and made this great film. And you will be able to see it on the big screen very soon, thanks to people like Sean Hannish, who is helping get it out there. We'll talk to Sean at 7:20. Our question of the night is, when you think mediocre sitcom, what show comes to mind? I said Dharma and Greg. Conrad said That 90s Show. Please be part of the show and text us on the text line at 855-752-4842 or on the app. Or you can drop us a stream comment at YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter. Folks, this is exciting, and you know it. You've been following it. It's our outstanding Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. It's our multi-state contest here at Civic Media, and it is happening through this Friday, October 3rd. Our daily prizes are $200 cash and gold jewelry, and if you play on a daily basis, that will make you eligible for the grand prize, which is two club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's professional football. It's a Green Bay home game, November 23rd at noon, and we're even throwing in a gas card to help you get there. It's a $1,500 plus value. And very easy to play. You just need the Civic Media app. That's all. I'm going to give you the keyword in about 10 minutes. Text that in on the app, only on the app. And then when we send you a confirmation link, click on that and sign up for the Civic Media newsletter or Civic Media Today or some of our social media platforms, and you will enhance your chances to win. So keyword coming up in about 10 minutes. Lots of fun. Good luck, everybody. Right now, we have a few more minutes with my current guest, Chris Foran. Chris, we were talking about weapons, and I really want to ask you, there's a couple films I want to ask you about before we let you go. One is Highest to Lowest. I thought that film was coming out in wide release. I went to see it opening weekend. It's Denzel Washington and Spike Lee. It got great reviews, and I couldn't find it, at least not in Marinette, Wisconsin, and it seems like I would have had to drive to Milwaukee to see it. Do you know what happened? Did they pull that at the last minute or what?
No, it was it's the world that we live in now. It was produced by Apple TV Plus, and they had plans for a limited theatrical run before it went on Apple TV Plus. And it's a crapshoot if you're ever going to get those movies. Like I think last week, another Apple TV movie, The Lost Bus with Matthew McConaughey, open in theaters in Milwaukee. And I think in other parts of the state too, it's on Apple TV next week. I didn't expect to see it. When you look at trailers for Netflix movies, they'll always say, you know, select theaters this date and then streaming. What they really mean is that it's theaters that Netflix owns in New York and Los Angeles so that they can be a qualify for Oscars and things like that. Yeah. And so I was surprised that we got Highest to Lowest here in Milwaukee. And the Oriental did a great thing. The Milwaukee Film runs the Oriental Theater. They also showed the original Kurosawa movie that is based on High and Low, which is really, it's one of my favorite Kurosawa movies. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't have Apple TV, so I always have to rush to see those if they're going to play, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what happened. I think what happens is that because there's that layer of local coverage of this stuff is gone. Like, you know, there aren't not a lot of film critics anymore. Not a lot of people even covering that stuff anymore around the state, you know, most states, this Wisconsin's one of them. That they don't, all you see is the ad on television. You think, well, it's coming to theaters. And it's, no. And it's a shame, but that is the ecosystem we're in. It's interesting to me that they're even doing movies on streaming services. Cause you never hear, no matter how good the movie is, you almost never anybody buzz about a movie on a streaming service. They always buzz about the TV shows.
Right.
And, I was looking at the list of movies coming out this fall and there's a ton of really good movies coming out on Netflix. The first one, even this next month, House of Dynamite, about
a
nuclear warhead coming for the United States. If you look at their trailers, they say select theaters October 10th on Netflix, October 24th. It won't come to theaters here, I'm sure.
The weird thing about that was, I hear what you're saying about Highest to Lowest, but it was listed like it was going wide. That's why I was surprised. I thought they pulled it at the last minute.
I did like it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was... It got a lot of knocks from people who thought that it was kind of a stuffy movie for Spike Lee. With the notable exception of Do the Right Thing, I tend to like the Spike Lee movies that he didn't, if not original stories from him. Inside Man is one of my favorite movies of that decade. And I thought he did a great job with Clockers and a bunch of other movies. He did a good job with it. And Washington, you know, Denzel Washington is great. When you let him do what he does, he's great.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a film I did not see, Downton Abbey. My parents, who are in their early 80s, were split on it. Now they watched the show. I didn't watch the show. I'm probably not going to see the film, but they've got rabid fans. But I thought it was funny that my dad really liked it. And my mom was like, yeah, it was fine. Whatever. Tell people who might be fans of Downton Abbey what they can expect or what you thought of it.
If they're fans of Downton Abbey, I'm sure they will enjoy the movie. It's more like the movies than the TV show. I am actually not a huge fan of the guy who created it, Julian Fellowes. I think it's kind of a lot of it's pretty lazy. You know, the one sister always says the wrong thing, and the Mary always puts her foot in it like in a major way. You know, and comes out okay and. And the servants are all upstanding and, you know, and, it was okay. It reminded me of the, I know a lot of people think of it as a mediocre sitcom. I do not. The show How I Met Your Mother was one of my favorite sitcoms, and it had a recurring plot line where they were watching a show called Woodworthy Manor. And the big plot that they were building up to is who overwatered the gooseberry bushes, you know, and that's sort of, you know, nothing happening is sort of a lot of what happens in this movie, but it's okay. It's pleasant. It's very pretty.
Okay. Last thing for you, buddy. We're both watching Task on HBO. Jamie McShane is a good friend of mine, the guy who plays the top bad guy. And I think he's great at it. And yes. I like the show. I do. I love Mark Ruffalo.
I do too.
Really like the guy who plays Robbie, kind of the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And my pal Jamie's great in it. But what are your thoughts on it? And also, how do you compare it? I know I can't think of the creator's name now, but he also created Mare from Easttown, which I loved. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was almost a flawless show. I really liked it. And I like Task a lot. I don't know if I like it as much as Mare from Easttown, but obviously we've got a few episodes to go. What are your thoughts on the show?
Yeah, it definitely fills that HBO thing where everyone's got demons that are on the verge of just overwhelming them, and it's bleak, and everybody, there's an informer, and we sort of know who it is, but I think it's really well acted, and it's really well written. I'm not a big fan of a lot of those shows, but I do like, because I like Ruffalo, and I do like, I'm interested to see how they get to where they get to. Cause obviously it's gonna, you know, it'll resolve it one way or another.
Sometimes it's so easy.
It is grim stuff though.
Yeah, it is. And like on a lot of those shows, like in Mare from Easttown, my wife always has to root for someone. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I feel like at least they have to be interesting, but ideally I'd like to root for somebody. But it's also easy to pick out, like when they say there's a leak in Task, it's like, well, I don't think that actress would have taken the role had we only known the scene she was in. They got to give her something else to do. So it's those kind of clues you can kind of figure it out. But I hope they keep us guessing a little bit. I do like it so far.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Hey, buddy, this is fun. Always fun. Come back soon. Enjoy your retirement. Kick your feet up. Make an old fashioned and enjoy those grandkids.
I will if they don't wear me out. But it could happen. I had to retire because I need to get in shape to
keep
up with my grandchildren.
There you go. All right, buddy. Thanks. Have a great night, Chris.
Thanks.
Thanks.
You too.
Chris Warren. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. It's funny because Chris told me earlier today he's not a huge part, or he's not a part of the Paul Thomas Anderson cult. And there is a cult, I think. But like I said, when his movies are good, they are really good. And I loved One Battle After Another. So Sean Hannish is coming up at 7:20, folks. Right now, we're going to read some text here. If I can figure this out. We've got, how are we doing on TextCon? What do we have here? Am I way behind?
We got a decent amount.
All right, let's tear into these babies, huh? So we've got Todd or Billy. I find that funny. From the 414, he says, this is Todd or Billy. I think Frasier was mediocre. Oh, listen, I said Cosby, the Cosby Show. So I like that you said Frasier because I'm with you, Todd or Billy, if that is your real names. I loved Frasier on Cheers. I loved that character. But leading the show, I just kind of wanted to, I didn't like it. You watch Frasier?
Never seen it.
My dad loves it. And he always will bring it up and he'll say, well, that one time on Frasier, like he's trying to kind of sell me on it, or he's just making a dig because he knows I don't like it as much as he does. But I'm with you. That's a great one. Semi-controversial, Todd or Billy. Steve from Florida, that's Conrad's dad, says Three's Company was a great show, but the spinoff of The Ropers was really bad. I did like the original Night Court, but the new Night Court is terrible. I have not seen the new Night Court, Steve. I probably won't get a chance to check it out. There was actually another spinoff of Three's Company too. I remember it might have just been called the Jack Tripper Show or something. He owned a restaurant called Jack's Bistro. And the girls weren't on the show anymore. And there was like a surfer guy who was like his sous chef or something. I don't know. Thanks for the text, Steve. Edward from the 414 says, FYI. What do you make of that? Oh, he's telling me how to say Benicio del Toro's name. He spelled it phonetically. Benicio, not Benicio del Toro. You know what? I've had about enough of that guy's attitude. I'm going to say Benny's name however I want to.
It's your show.
You know, I actually kind of knew that. And if I said Benicio, I don't know. Benicio. Yeah, that's true. All right, Edward. Fair enough. Monica from Mount Horeb. She's in the 608. Says Melissa and Joey with Melissa Joan Hart and Joey Lawrence. Yeah, that's bad. All right, folks. It is time for me to give you the keyword for tonight's Civic Media Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Tonight's keyword. Text this in on the app and on the app only, folks. Tonight's keyword is laugh. L-A-U-G-H. L-A-U-G-H. Laugh. Text it in and good luck. We are coming right back with Just a Bit Outside director Sean Hannish, who is going to tell us how we can see a really cool new Packer film in theaters. After this, it's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. There's a heartbreak beat playing all night long down on my street.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Is violent crime in the U.S. higher than 25 years ago? No. Violent crime is lower nationally and in major cities than 25 years ago, according to FBI and Justice Department data. In 2023, cities with 250,000 or more people reported 771 violent crimes per 100,000 residents, down from 1,093 in 2000. Nationally, violent crime has stayed below 400 incidents per 100,000 residents for a decade, compared to about 500 in the late 1990s. Pew Research reported a 49% drop in violent crime, which includes murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, since 1993. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
On Friday, the Wausau West High School football team looks to extend their win streak to 3 games in a row, traveling to Marshfield to take on the Tiger. Hear all the action live from the Culver Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Culver Belt Credit Union. It's Wausau West football at Marshfield, Friday night live from the Culver Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. For those of you in downtown Green Bay, it's a very sad day tomorrow. The last farmer's market of the season will be taking place on Broadway, but the farmer's market on Washington will continue through much of October, which is good news. So, that Conrad, that means we'll find parking easier. If Conrad's on the phone. He's calling his mom or something. Speaking of Conrad's mom, we just got a text from Conrad's mom, Paula, who says, Joni loves Chachi. Yeah, that's really mediocre. That might not even be mediocre, Paula, but I appreciate the text. I said earlier, anything that Scott Baio was in is pretty bad. We have a phone call. We could take a quick call, and then we'll get to our guest, Sean Hannish, who is waiting patiently. Who do we have?
Ollie from the Northwoods.
Ollie, how are you?
I'm fine. You stole my very first guess was Dharma and Greg. That was the first thing that popped into my mind when you that gave the question of the night. But another one that I could not get into was Wings.
Oh, yeah.
It had some good actors in it.
Yeah.
Tony Shalhoub and Tyne Daly, and I also like Kelsey Grammer.
No, a lot of people. Look, I'm on an island. I know Frasier was hugely popular. Thank you very much for the call, Ollie. We are kindred spirits with our choice of sitcoms. But have a great night. And
you take care.
You got it. Thank you very much. And Wings is so funny because The Simpsons used to rip on Wings. In fact, one time Homer was watching TV and you heard the TV voice go, "Next on Wings." Who cares? And with that in mind, let's bring on one of our favorite guests. This gentleman is joining us over the stream from Los Angeles. He is the director of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, as well as other films, Return to Zero and St. Judy. He is a Milwaukee native son, Mr. Sean Hannish. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing, Pete?
I'm doing very well. So, all right, so I have to clear something up. This guy, Mark Cass, who I think I know.
Yes.
emailed me about this movie about the Packers and Japanese fans. I'm like, but he didn't name the movie. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that Craig Benzine's movie? Like, I've talked to this guy. There's no way Sean has a movie about Packer fans. And then we eventually put two and two together. So I'm glad this worked out. And you said last time you were here, you had news about something coming up. Yeah. Obviously, this is it. So very cool stuff.
Thanks. This is the news. By the way, I think also backstage is my producing partner, Paul Giacone Beery, who's hanging out here, I think.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you were going to bring him on.
Oh, let's bring him on, Conrad. Let's bring him on. I didn't know Paul was on the call.
Yeah, Paul, if you can hear us, could you turn your mic on? Thank you. Yep. All right, now he's in.
Hey, welcome, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you. It's great to have you guys.
Thanks.
It's great to be here. I mean, Pete, yeah, I mean, last time we were talking, and I do feel like, again, I feel like I'm Doc Severinsen to you, Johnny Carson. I come by every couple of weeks, you know, play a few tunes, and then, you know, disappear.
That's okay. So, you dress more casually, and you're more laid back, though, than Doc Severinsen, which fits the show perfectly, so.
Well, and you don't want to hear me play trumpet, so. the really great news, and by the way, I'm going to let Paul talk for a while because he's really smart and incredibly articulate as opposed to me. But I did want to say that we're so excited because here at Cannonball, we had such a great success with the fans in the state of Wisconsin with Just a Bit Outside, you know, the Brewers documentary, that when I saw this and when I saw you in spring at the Wisconsin Film Festival, saw this film, No Packers, No Life, and it is such a joyful film about what it means to be a fan and how teams, especially the Green Bay Packers, bring people together even from halfway around the world. So did you happen to see it when you were at the festival?
I did not see it. I had a conflicting screening while I was there, but I had Paul on my PBS show, PBS Wisconsin TV, and I interviewed Paul about the film, and I've seen a lot of clips from it. And then I've had him on this show twice to promote screenings. And then I think the last time he was supposed to be on, he said, hey, I thought I had an announcement, but I can't say anything yet. And now it all makes sense. But he's a great guy.
That was us.
Yeah. Well,
sorry. We got a bit involved and we got our friends at Marcus involved. And they're, 2 weeks from Friday on the 17th, we are opening the film throughout the state of Wisconsin. They're in Green Bay, Appleton, Milwaukee, Madison, La Crosse, Wausau, all over the state through Marcus Theaters. So we're so excited to bring this movie to everybody.
It's very exciting. So let me ask you, before we get more into the film, you guys, do you have an actual like distribution company? Because, you know, tell us about, I think you said Cannonball, right?
We do now. So, Just a Bit Outside, we distributed it ourselves. Which wound up being the best way to get it out to the fans of the Brewers and then out into the wider world. And we said, hey, what else is there out there that sort of catches that same niche, right? That is in that same place for these, you know, amazing Wisconsin fans. And I have to say, Sean Hanisch, son of Milwaukee, I'm, you know, California native, but I feel like I have been adopted by Wisconsin. I've spent more time in Wisconsin the last couple of years than, anywhere else other than my home. We just thought, you know, what else can we bring to the people of Wisconsin? And then Sean saw this film and said, you know, you should take a look at this. I think there's something here. And I think he put it best. The joy and the beauty of this film is how it's a window and a mirror up to the state of Wisconsin and the joy that the people of Wisconsin get from the Green Bay Packers and how that joy spreads all over the world and brings people together from, well, literally halfway around the world. So we're unbelievably excited to be getting this movie in theaters and sharing it with the world. You know, like I said, we saw it and we're like, hey, what can we do? So here we are.
All right. Very cool stuff. We're going to break for the news. We're going to come back. Paul, I'm glad you're on the call. Sean is a writer, director. Now he's a distributor. I think he's in welding school, too. There's nothing Sean is not adding to his resume. I'm sure Paul is multi-talented as well. We are coming right back to talk more about this really cool film, No Packers, No Life, that you can check out in 2 weeks. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And
Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. Trying to keep the government running after midnight, the Senate votes on dueling continuing resolutions, with both failing. The deadline is midnight. Senate Majority Leader John Thune blames Democrats for the holdup.
We are not going to be held hostage for over $1 trillion in new spending on a continuing resolution.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth tells hundreds of military officials no more politically correct leadership, saying the goal is preparing for war and preparing to win.
Pacifism is so naive and dangerous. It ignores human nature and it ignores human history.
Shut down or not, big changes are in store at the FBI beginning tomorrow. Sources tell CBS News that hundreds of FBI employees will be separated from the Bureau. Nearly 2 dozen agents have been fired. CBS's Scott McFarland.
There's been others inside the Department of Justice prosecutor's offices who've also been recently fired or forced out for their role in prosecuting January 6 cases.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Bucks are new and improved. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. That's the message Bucks GM John Horsehead telling reporters on how they've revamped the roster after releasing Damian Lillard.
We have even more shooting this year than we had last year. Obviously highlighted by the Miles Turner acquisition, which was huge for us. He really fits us as a person, as a player, age-wise on the timeline of the rest of our team. Doc said yesterday he's actually younger than Giannis, which is great.
NFL, the Packers' Micah Parsons says he wants to meet this week with defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley after Green Bay allowed the Cowboys to score 40 points Sunday night.
We're just sitting down talking for 10, 15 minutes together post-game, and just like I said, bro, I want to meet with you one-on-one. That's the same thing I used to do with Zimmer, same thing I did with Dan Quinn, just about like what he sees, what I see. I take my personal time so that we can build that relationship together. But, you know, it's something that I do want to hope throughout this bye week that we come back and we start doing more things together.
That's the Packers' Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Here's one of Pete's picks. I was late to the party with the original Dexter, but really enjoyed all 8 seasons. I'm really enjoying Dexter Resurrection. The show has the same mystery of its first incarnation, as well as the solid writing, but the Dexter character has evolved into a caring father, which complicates things for a serial killer. The talented cast that surrounds Michael C. Hall includes Neil Patrick Harris, Eric Stonestreet, Peter Dinklage, and Uma Thurman. It's worth a look. And in news almost nobody over 30 cares about, Selena Gomez and her fiancé, Benny Blanco, tied the knot after their 2-year courtship. The wedding took place last Saturday in California. Gomez announced the news on Instagram over the weekend. Taylor Swift was the flower girl and Martin Short was the ring bearer. Other celebrities who attended included Paris Hilton, and there were some celebs with talent who attended as well, including Steve Martin, Ed Sheeran, and Paul Rudd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight, a low in the mid-50s. And mostly sunny and warm again for Wednesday, a high in the upper 70s. Heat continues to build through the rest of the week, highs in the 80s. Storm chances return Friday night through the weekend. It's 69 degrees right now.
On Friday night, it's homecoming for the Newman Catholic High School football team. The Cardinals will play host to Port Edwards. Hear the game live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. The game will also air on a tape delay basis following the Wausau West game on 98.9 WXCO. Newman Catholic High School football is brought to you by the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Rocket Industrials, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Newman Catholic playing host to Port Edwards Friday night, live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:40 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. The game can also again be heard on WXCO 98.9 following the Wausau West game.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Rudin in hour number 2. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Beautiful night here in the state of Wisconsin as we broadcast live from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Our question of the night, you still have time to get in on the fun. When you think mediocre sitcoms, what show comes to mind? Also, tonight's keyword in our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state Text to Win contest is LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H. Text that in on the app and on the app only, folks. And then when we send you a confirmation link, click on that and sign up for Civic Media Today or the Civic Media Newsletter or our social media outlets, and you will increase your chances to win $200 cash and gold jewelry. That's the daily prize. And when you text in the keyword, you are also eligible for the grand prize. 2 club-level indoor seats to Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's professional football. And it's a Green Bay home game, November 23rd at 12 p.m. And we're throwing in a gas card, too. It's a $1,500 plus value. That's some good walking around money right there. So good luck, everybody. Right now, joining me here at Nightlight is our pal Sean Hanisch and our new pal, Paul. Paul, tell me how to say your last name again.
Sure. Jaconi Beery.
Jaconi Beery. That's a great name. All right.
Well done.
It's great to meet you. And I this is so funny because I made this film years ago called The Godfather of Green Bay, paired myself up, this Midwestern boy, with my friend Brian and his brother Josh, Brian and Josh Edding, who are from the Valley. And it's funny how Midwest people always go, oh, everybody's so weird out there. I think people that grow up out there are fine. They're like everywhere. It's the people that move there from Chicago or Milwaukee or Minneapolis that feel like they have to act a certain way. Honest to God, my experience is like, oh, God, they're just like Valley kids. You know, it's like, I don't know where you grew up, Paul, but I had a lovely experience with Californians.
We're great.
All right. It is great to have you guys here. We're talking about a movie that Paul and Sean are helping or have helped get into theaters. It opens in a couple weeks called No Packers, No Life. The director is Craig Benzine. Tell us a little bit about the movie itself, you guys.
Well, I'll jump in. The movie is it's a very simple story, but so resonant when it comes to friendship and community. Really, the story is about Ty Morse, who is the producer of the film. He's also one of the stars of the film. He has traveled to Asia well over 100 times. And a number of years ago, he was on a trip and he was in Tokyo, which, you know, has this big crossing called Shibuya. And it's the big one with all the crosswalks. It's in all the movies and all you see it. He was crossing the street and he actually saw a Green Bay, somebody wearing a Green Bay Packers jersey. And he'd never seen this on any of his 100 trips. He'd never seen anybody with a Packers jersey. So he goes up to him and he says, "Go Pack, go." And the guy turns around and he says to him, he goes, "Go Pack, go." And the two of them start going, "Go Pack, go," back and forth until they're in the middle of this crossing going, "Go Pack, go." And the guy, it was really, they were both so excited, but neither of them spoke. Ty doesn't speak Japanese and this gentleman doesn't speak English, but they spoke Green Bay Packers. So that one would say Donald and the other would say Driver.
Wow.
And one would say John, the other would say Coon. So and this guy was on his way to go and watch the Packer game with all of his buddies. And what Ty found is there is this group of passionate Packer fans in Tokyo that call themselves the Japanese Packers cheering squad. And they have been cheering on the Packers since the early 90s. So, wow. You know, since about the time of, you know, the first days of Brett Favre and Reggie White, when they started televising the NFL over, you know, in Japan. And so they became huge fans. And so he stumbled into this really great, you know, passionate group of Packer fans half a world away. And so he goes back to Green Bay and he says to his buddies, he was like, "You know, I think we should bring him over to go to a game at Lambeau." And they make room in all their houses. His father-in-law has 3 rooms. A buddy down the street has 2 beds. And so they ended up bringing over and hosting almost 30 Japanese Packer fans.
Wow.
and took them to Lambeau Field. And this is a document, a documentary about that experience, about that trip, about the friendships that were made, and really about how amazing it is to be a Green Bay Packer fan, whether you're in Green Bay, Wisconsin, or, you know, you're in the middle of Tokyo. So it's I mean, that's kind of the nuts and bolts of what the film's about, but it doesn't quite capture just, you know, the spirit of what it's like to be really from Wisconsin and a Wisconsin sports fan, because that's what it makes it like the baseball movie. Is both of these movies are about the fans of Wisconsin and how special we all are.
I heard that, I think Craig told me that these people in these Japanese people would watch VHS tapes of old Packer games. Like, I don't even do that with my teams. And I, you know, that's, why do they do that? Do they not have access to the live games all the time, or do they just like to relive these great memories?
No,
they have access.
Yeah. They show up at a karaoke bar at 2 a.m. Monday morning to watch the game live. But then they have these regular get togethers where they watch their favorite game. So they're watch at the end of the season, they'll watch their favorite game of the season. And then, you know, in the off season, they'll have these regular tape viewings. And I think, you know, Sean was talking about how this movie connects to Just a Bit Outside. And for me, what really connects here is it's about community, right? And it's about how sports and teams build community. And whereas Just a Bit Outside is about, you know, the building up of Milwaukee over the course of that magical season, this is about the creation of community around the world,
yeah,
right? And how sport can bring people together across boundaries of language, across boundaries of culture, across boundaries of history, across, you know, a dozen time zones, right? So that was the magic for us, is that this has something really beautiful to say about the power of the Packers and sports generally to bring people together. And it's really a film about joy and about friendship. And so, you know, we really also felt that, like, right now, that kind of film, like, there's very much a place for that film for all of us, I think. I think we could all use a couple hours of just joy and connection. So that's why we're here.
That's the voice of Paul Ciccone-Berry, and Sean Hanisch is with us too. They are executive producers and distributors of the movie No Packers, No Life, which opens in Marcus Theaters in a couple weeks. So, Sean, compare what you expect out of the audience if you had to draw a parallel between Just a Bit Outside and the reaction you got with that film in theaters to what you think it will be like for No Packers, No Life.
I think people are going to be a little happier about the ending.
Oh, you hope so, right?
the ending of I'm so proud of the ending of the Brewers film is very profound. But this one's really about, you know, I think if the film's about anything, it's really about, you know, finding your passion. And I think, listen, you know, whether it's 1982, the summer of 1982 in Milwaukee, where the city just became and the state became electric by this group of players that we all felt like, you know, we'd meet in the parking lot and have a beer with, or, you know, they just felt like part of the community. This film is similar in that, you know, the Packers themselves feel part of the community. I mean, maybe, you know, some of the listeners out there took their bike, you know, when they were kids to, you know, the practice facility and had the players in, you know, when they were in their, you know, camp, you know, ride the bike over, you know, I mean, the Packers is a community. It's a community of, I think what is kind of cool about this film is it gives us, and I say us because I'm born and raised in Wisconsin and have been a Packer fan since I could remember my first word, is that it really shows us what we have is so incredibly special, that people that grew up in people that live in one of the biggest cities in the world would find the fact that there's an NFL team in a city of 110,000 people in the smallest market in all of pro sports that would have such a huge footprint kind of on American sports culture and world sports culture. So it kind of holds up a mirror, and in a way I thought, wow, you know, we are really lucky. We're so lucky to have this team. I mean, it's such a crazy thing to think that this team even exists. And that's what I get through watching the Japanese fans talk about what it's like to be a Packer fan, but also what it's like to visit Green Bay and Wisconsin. One of the lines that I love from the trailer, and one of the Japanese fans when they came over said, "Wisconsin is human."
Wow.
And I think that's really beautiful because it's true. Wisconsin is human. We try so hard to make everybody else feel at home and feel comfortable. Maybe not Viking fans, but other than them, we try to make everybody feel at home.
It's definitely there. It's so unique because of what you just said, the size of the city. I think, you know, if Green Bay had 800,000 people or whatever, it might just be, you know, still a popular franchise, but you're right. The size of the city makes it so, like, people that don't have teams, I think, in America and even overseas tend to gravitate towards the Packers just because of the story behind them. The city owns the team. It's the only team in the city. And it makes me think, I cannot believe they used to play half their season in Milwaukee. Like, yeah. How did that, you know, and it was a good thing for the people in Milwaukee. It was still the Green Bay Packers, but I don't know why you would give up those four games. Certainly they don't anymore, but.
It was actually Lombardi's idea to start taking games down to Milwaukee because they needed the money.
Lombardi, what's he done?
I know, right? When he came, they needed the money. So, but it's all worked out in the end.
Absolutely. What do you guys have in store next? Like, this is your second sports movie. You had different roles on this one, but you're still an integral part of it. Like, what's next?
What is next, Paul?
Gee, that's a good question. There's like 10 different things. It kind of depends, you know? We're actually, you know, on the distribution side, I will say this. We're developing this little distribution business, and we have been in conversations with a number of other filmmakers about bringing their films into the world. So along with our own projects that are currently simmering at various stages, we're also hoping to get a few more films out there in the coming year and really, you know, help folks find an audience, you know, because that's why we do this. We do this so that we can find an audience and share stories with them. So that's been a little bit of our focus for the minute.
Can you talk about any more Wisconsin sports movies? Like, you seem to hit a niche here that you know, there's a demand for it.
Well, it's, you know, we've had a lot of people reach out since Just a Bit Outside. And you know, we've talked to a number of people that you'd know about, you know, potentially doing other documentaries, you know, a different one about the Brewers, a different one about the Packers. You know, I think it's... The fans of Wisconsin are so special. Like, I feel like we could, you know, continue to bring all these stories and people will continue to show up as long as they're good. But this is a good movie. And you know, those who saw Just a Bit Outside would agree that was good too. I mean, one Wisconsin sports story that Paul and I have been writing is, and I think I mentioned this at a previous show, we're writing a story of the early days of Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry.
That's great. And, hey, can you guys stick around for a couple more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to do a really quick break. We'll come back and close things up. We'll have a few more minutes with Paul and Sean, and we'll finish up your text. And I'm going to ask you guys what your most mediocre sitcoms is, too. So think about that over the break, too. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The 98.9 WXCO Text to Win contest sponsored by Ho-Chunk Gaming Winterberg. Download the free Civic Media app and text to win on the WXCO page.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school, the stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons, and now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
There's parade wagons. Circus parades would have to get people excited to come see the circus. And so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Feld Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down the night.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. We've got a few more texts here we'll get to from the 920. Caroline in the City. No name, just 920. That's interesting because Caroline in the City had a character that was from Peshtigo, Wisconsin, which is like 6 miles from where I live right now. So Caroline in the City. Yeah, kind of forgettable, though. I'm with you. Melissa from Willie Street says, two broke girls. That's the second text for two broke girls tonight. And then John in the 608 says, my three sons. Oh, okay. We have another text from Steady Eddie and John we will get to shortly right now. One more reminder, folks, tonight's keyword is laugh, L-A-U-G-H, laugh. So get your keyword in on the app. Good luck. We have a couple more minutes here with our guests, Paul Giacone Beery and Sean Hanisch. They are the executive producers behind No Packers, No Life, which opens in Marcus Theaters in a couple. What's the exact date, you guys?
October 17th.
Okay. Will you guys be here for at any of the screenings, or
we're gonna be there that whole week? Nice. We're gonna be there for the opening on the 17th, but we're also gonna be there for the VIP premiere, which is gonna take place at the Majestic, Marcus Majestic in Waukesha.
Oh, nice!
And that's Wednesday, October 15th. Pete, you should come down for it. It's gonna be fun. We're getting some of the some great Packers are gonna be joining us. We just confirmed that George Kuntz. Super Bowl champion George Kuntz is going to be joining us.
Very cool. We're
going to have a few other folks that we'll be announcing, along with the filmmakers. And one of the producers was Jay Demerit, who is a captain of the U.S. men's national soccer team back about 15 years ago. So it's going to be a really fun night. And it'll be the premiere screening of the film.
I would love to go. I'm not a very important person, so I don't know if I qualify for the VIP, but you could just give me an AP ticket, like a person. Pete is, you know, sitting in that side. The Euchre seats.
And tickets are available. There are a limited number of tickets for the public if they want to attend the VIP screening. They're available at the website nopackersnolife.com.
Great plug.
They're going quick for anybody who's interested. And as Sean said, we're going to be announcing some additional Packers legends over the coming days and weeks. We'll be joining us there.
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, I wish you luck, guys. Keep bringing these great movies. You know, it's so refreshing. I just saw the movie One Battle After Another today. Loved it. But there are so few films like on a bigger scale, like that come out, like Sinners or that one, that aren't superhero franchise, whatever. I really think there's like a market for these kind of local heightened interest films about sports. It's just so great that you can go to the theater too and have that experience.
Well, that's kind of what we want to do. We want to test this out. And if, you know, we just think people still want to go to the movies.
Absolutely.
You know, and have a good couple of hours of escape.
Absolutely. All right. Before we let you guys go, I have to ask you, what show comes to mind? And I have to be careful because these guys are both writers. So don't say anything they might have worked on. It's like looking at your IMDb pages before going, all right, don't insult the guests, but you're not on there. And I know you only do awesome work, but personally, I'd love to be, you know, if someone's heard of my sitcom and they trash it, I don't care as long as the check's clear. But what do you guys, what do you think of when you think of mediocre sitcoms?
Don't take mine, Paul.
I don't think I'm going to. You go first.
Alf.
Oh, interesting.
Alf, but I was a kid.
You're a bit younger. Yeah, Alf. I thought Alf was, you know, it went 4 seasons on NBC, yeah. You know, mid late 80s. And, you know, I was just reading, there's a little controversy about the ending. I guess the puppeteers weren't getting along with the actors. Anyway, I think there's more there to unpack.
Alf walked out, right, during the...
Mine's a slightly deeper pull. When I was a high school student, I had the opportunity to be in the audience of Golden Palace, which was a spinoff of The Golden Girls, where two of the Golden Girls and they ran a hotel in Miami. And it was very mediocre.
I don't even remember that one. And The Golden Girls was great. It's so funny how you can have that big of a drop off, you know, it's like Joey or the Friends spinoffs or whatever.
You lose Estelle Getty, it's all over.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much. Best of luck with the screenings. Keep me posted. And Sean, I'll probably see you with the rest of the band very shortly again here on the show.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Thanks, Pete.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish. Go to that. What's the website again, real quick, guys, for the tickets?
Nopackersnolife.com.
Outstanding. Have a great night, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pete. A couple more texts here. Jim from Appleton says, my mother, The Car, early TV sitcom. I kind of remember that name, but I've never seen the show. But thank you, Jim. John Murray in Madison says, Mary Tyler Moore's spinoff Rhoda gave me issues and I abandoned it at like age 12. Best show ever back then. Bob Newhart, but his Ski Mountain spinoff was Daryl and Daryl and not much more. Why, Bob? Even Sheldon was not down with that business. I don't know. I like both Bob Newharts, but you know what, John? You're a savvy guy. To each his own. I really appreciate the text. And yeah, that's a tough one. I remember liking Mary Tyler Moore. I don't remember much about Rhoda. But I did like Bob Newhart. But we can agree to disagree, John. Steady Eddie says, Hey, Pete, I loved Downton Abbey, the TV show, the continuing story, the writing, the actors, the music, the costumes, the settings, and the cinematography were all wonderful. I looked forward to watching it every Sunday night. Steadfast Edward says, Pip, Pip, Cheerio, Downton Abbey, nicely played. The first movie was only okay. I think there were too many characters in the TV show for the movie to do them all justice. Wow, that's a well-thought-out text. Thank you, Steady Eddie. He adds a postscript, Conrad. He says, I have already forgotten the names of many mediocre TV sitcoms. Hey, great show tonight. Thank you to Sean Hannish, Paul Jaconi Berry, and our pal Chris Foran. Thank you, Conrad. Conrad, thank you. Seriously, thanks for coming in tonight.
Yeah, hey, you're welcome.
Oh, great stuff. Thank you for all your texts. Good luck in the contest. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again with some great guests. Catherine Lake will be here to tell you about A Godfather of Green Bay screening in Madison coming up. Our pal, actor Dan Davies, and Greg Bach will talk about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival at 6:35. So great show, jam-packed show again tomorrow night. We'll have a great question for you. Please join us again. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab, saying good night, Wisconsin. Oh, that's really sad.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Last-ditch Senate votes to avert a partial U.S. government shutdown at midnight fail. The Senate has voted down two continuing resolutions, one from Democrats and another from Republicans.
The bill upon reconsideration is not passed.
The GOP wants to keep the government funded at current levels. Democrats want expanded tax credits for the Affordable Care Act that are set to expire in December. Washington State Congresswoman Susan Delbene, a Democrat, tells CBS News.
If there's a shutdown, they talk about the pain they want to inflict on the American people. We're fighting to help the American people, help families, and health care is obviously critical to that.
CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
The difference between this shutdown and shutdowns prior is that the administration has said that they're not just going to furlough workers, which means that they would be paid back later. They are urging agencies to actually go ahead and lay people off in